who's in line to see some potential storms all time out your evening. Plus, today was the warmest day this year, but I'm tracking the multiple impacts we'll feel from this front.
A local school bus overturns with six students on board.
She said, "Dad, I kept telling them, my head's hurting. It's pounding. Can y'all check my head?"
Why a man whose daughter was inside says he's disappointed with how the school handled the crash.
We're live on NC State's campus as fired-up fans prepare to celebrate both basketball teams and their storybook Final Four run.
Right now, here at 7 o'clock, we're taking a look at the radar as we track the potential for storms in our northern counties tonight. Then tomorrow, the risk for severe weather moving into the Triangle area. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. Right now, a severe thunderstorm watch is in effect for Mecklenburg County. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat, walk us through the timeline for the possible storms.
Well, tonight, they're not going to get here until after 8 o'clock for Mecklenburg County, Virginia. And I really don't think that this line is going to cross over into northeastern North Carolina until after about 9 o'clock tonight. So we still have time. The better chances for storms for many of us hold off until tomorrow. A severe thunderstorm watch in effect for much of Virginia until 10 o'clock. Nowhere in North Carolina are we included in that watch right now, but Mecklenburg County is included. You can see the storms are likely to arrive there closer to 8 o'clock. We'll see the storms cross over into North Carolina 9, 10 o'clock, but they should start to dissipate as they continue to push south. Even though the storms fade out, the front still makes its way south. It gets stuck over North Carolina during the day tomorrow, and this is going to act as a highway for these waves of scattered storms to move along, and that's why storm chances are increasing tomorrow, mainly late in the evening and into tomorrow night. Tonight, we do have a chance that one of those storms could be strong to severe, but tomorrow, the level one threat extends into the Triangle. I'll have more on this coming up.
Okay, Kat, thank you. We are following breaking news. A hazmat situation is unfolding in North Raleigh at a pool supply warehouse. Officials say a tank is leaking. One person was exposed. WRAL's Willie Danley is live at the large scene off J. Richard Road. Willie, crews actually moved you back so you don't inhale dangerous fumes?
Yes, Ashley. I was actually standing right over there across the street from here when the fire chief came out and he pushed us back to the other side of the street along with a number of firefighters because the wind was blowing fumes in our direction that he said he didn't want us to inhale. Take a look at this video that I captured here at the scene and you can see just how many fire crews responded to this hazmat situation. We are being told by Raleigh Fire that a 600-gallon tank is leaking. We're not sure yet what substance that tank is leaking, but it obviously is serious enough for such a large fire presence to respond to this scene. We do know that one person was exposed to that. We're not sure just yet what their condition is. They're working to get all of this under control. They haven't told us if there's a threat to any of the surrounding warehouses or businesses in this area, but we are working to get that answer and also working to find out the current condition of that person who was transported. We're going to get those answers and keep you updated. Back to you.
All right, Willie, keep us posted. Thank you.
As we take a live look at an iconic image behind me here, the bell tower at NC State. Of course, this is always where the Wolfpack gathers after a big win. Anything really to celebrate when it comes to the great sports teams over at NC State. The season is over for basketball fans, but the players and fans will be there tonight for one more big celebration in honor of the historic runs for both the men's and women's basketball team. I'm trying to spot Aaron Thomas. There he is, live as we get ready. It's going to be packed there. In a short time here, Aaron.
Yeah, most definitely, Dan. In fact, we have seen the progression of this crowd building over time. You can already see the people behind me. Many of them, they have their lawn chairs. Some have their picnic tables. Even have some folks who are either sitting on the balcony or patio area of this hotel across the street. The pep band also just arrived, and that's when you know it's really a party anytime you hear the siphon sound of the pep band. But, of course, many NC State fans have had many reasons to celebrate this entire basketball season. We were actually here when this street, Hillsborough Street, was blocked off for a watch party. We saw that sea of red block off party Hillsborough Street of many of them. They watched the men's team perform in the Final Four game. And then, of course, it's always a special moment when these fans can meet their favorite players from both the men and women's teams. And then we have seen the moments that both teams have come back from their destinations during the NCAA tournament and returned to campus. Now, even though they did not clinch a national championship title, you have many fans who explain how wonderful it is following this historic Final Four run.
It's just been really fun to watch it all. I really loved watching Diarra, you know, get through with Ramadan and respect his faith and, you know, carry through that. And, of course, DJ Burns, it's a great story. DJ Horn, it's all, it's just, you couldn't write a better story.
Yeah, certainly been a wonderful team to watch this entire time. Let's not forget that the men just won their first ACC title for the first time in 1987. So you want to keep things on the positive side. We are expecting to hear from NC State's chancellor, the mayor, to hear from other folks. I've already seen DJ Horn's mother out here. The party is just beginning. I think it's fair to say, if we want to quote rapper Doja Cat, that these folks are going to be painting the town red pretty soon when the event gets started at around 8 tonight. Dan?
It's starting now. You're quoting Doja Cat. I like it. Aaron Thomas, live for us down at the Bell Tower. For all the folks who can't make it down there, of course, we are going to cover this celebration for you live from your living room. You can watch it on WRAL News Plus. It's available over the air on Channel 34, on Spectrum, Channel 1257, and on your smart TV. You can also watch WRAL.com or the WRAL News app.
This afternoon, the Goldsboro Police Department announced another death investigation. This is the fourth death investigation since Friday. This map shows where each person was found. Police are still investigating the causes of these deaths, though it is worth noting the police department posted to Facebook about a recent rise in overdoses and deaths related to tainted drugs. New surveillance video shows the moments before this plane made an emergency landing in a Rocky Mountain neighborhood. The single engine Cessna, look at this, that's the Cessna right there. It touched down on Raleigh Boulevard late last night. Look how close it is to this gas station, so close that the surveillance video was able to capture it. That footage shows the plane just a few feet off the ground, narrowly missing the car driving in an opposite direction. The plane skids through the intersection before coming to a stop. No one was hurt, including the pilot, fortunately. The FAA is investigating the crash and should have a preliminary report on what happened in the next few days.
A scary situation for students and their families today. Six kids on board this bus here. The driver recovering two after a crash in Harnett County. Sky 5 video over the scene earlier today. This is the town of Irwin this morning. Police tell us the bus simply was going too fast around this curve here. Ran off the road and then overturned. WRL's Matt Tallhelm talked to the father of one of the students who was on that bus.
That parent tells me he is disappointed by how Harnett County Schools handled this. He says his daughter should have been taken to the hospital immediately from the scene of that crash. Instead, he says the school system took her to a church where her parents picked her up and they took her to the ER after discovering the extent of her injuries.
She was on the opposite side, and as it flipped to the right, she landed on this side of these destroyed windows.
Photos on Bobby Thomas's phone show the twisted metal and shattered windows that scraped and cut his 14-year-old daughter when her bus overturned on the way to school.
She had big bruises and abrasions and scrapes and cuts.
Sky 5 flew over the scene on Birds Mill Road as crews removed bus 28 from where it went off the road. State Highway Patrol says the bus was going too fast on this curve. Thomas says it was a substitute driver who was running behind on the route to get his daughter and her classmates to Harnett County Early College.
The bus driver was roughly an hour late to school. So I would imagine probably pressing a bit.
The school system and emergency crews tell WRAL everyone on the bus was checked out at the scene, but none were taken to the hospital. The Thomas family decided to take their daughter to the ER on their own. This concerned dad says doctors discovered she suffered a concussion in the crash.
Four children. When we send them to school, my hopes is that if they're in an accident, that they triage that accident the right way, not to say, hey, there's no injury, and send a child home with blood on their elbow, blood on their thigh, blood on their foot.
He questions the school system's response, including how they notified parents and cared for students immediately after the crash.
I most certainly think that there was no protocol in place. I think that if there was, it wasn't followed.
Within the last 2 hours, I got a response from Harnett County Schools. They say they take this situation very seriously, and parents were contacted as soon as possible. The school system's spokeswoman says, "We will continue to review this matter and wish a speedy recovery to all the students." Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Lillington.
All right. And, you know, the bus driver also, we should mention, was given a citation from state troopers on the scene.
History was made today during the first ever criminal trial for a former president. Donald Trump was in a New York courtroom as jury selection began in his hush money trial. This case stems from payments made to an adult film star, Stormy Daniels, during the 2016 campaign. In its first day, more than 50 potential jurors were dismissed after saying they could not be fair and impartial. Jury selection resumes at 9:30 tomorrow morning.
First Lady Jill Biden is in Greensboro right now visiting Guilford Technical Community College. She spoke to a group about career-connected learning and then will take part in a roundtable discussion. This is the First Lady's second stop of the day in North Carolina. Earlier, she was at Pitt Community College for similar events.
Still ahead, more states requiring high schoolers to take a personal finance class to graduate. That includes North Carolina. WRAL's data trackers take a closer look as time runs out on filing your taxes. Plus, a Fayetteville family mourning the loss of their loved one who was trying to stop a carjacking. The new video circulating online of the moments a truck plowed into him. New disturbing video just surfaced. It's getting a lot of attention on social media. It shows the moments a Fayetteville man was hit and killed. Authorities say a man attempting to carjack someone else struck 38-year-old Jonathan LeCompte with a truck. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays walks us through what happened. We do want to warn you, some of this video may be tough to watch.
Well, this is just a horrific story. Jonathan LeCompte worked here in Fayetteville at the DOT for many years. On March 14th, he was in Lumberton. He tried to be a good Samaritan during a carjacking incident, and his help ended up costing him his life. This was a scene about a month ago outside the McDonald's restaurant on West 5th Street in Lumberton. 911 operators received a call about an attempted carjacking at that location. The video that's got a lot of attention on social media shows two NCDOT employees acting as Good Samaritans intervene to stop the carjacking. We're told the man in the yellow vest is 38-year-old Jonathan LeCompte. Investigators say when LeCompte attempted to stop 28-year-old Ricky Driggers from carjacking another vehicle, Driggers jumped into LeCompte's DOT vehicle. You can hear LeCompte fire several point-blank gunshots at Driggers before he put the truck in reverse and backed away. You can hear shouts from the crowd telling everyone to get out of the way because Driggers was driving back at a high rate of speed. That's when LeCompte was hit and later died at the hospital. Lumberton police officers saw the suspect as he was fleeing. Driggers was arrested a short time later after he wrecked the stolen vehicle on Selma Road near Highway 41. The NCDOT isn't commenting on the incident, but sent this statement, which reads in part, "Our prayers and thoughts are with the family of Jonathan LeCompte. He was a dedicated 16-year employee of the department, working for the sign division of the Division 6 Traffic Services Unit. Jonathan was greatly admired and will be sincerely missed." Driggers faces several charges, including first-degree murder and larceny of a motor vehicle.
Now, authorities in Robeson County are keeping a close eye on Driggers because we're told he may harm himself. He's being held without bond in the Robeson County Detention Center. His next court appearance will be May 24th. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WRAL News.
And the family is asking for privacy as they seek justice and closure in this case.
A new warning now about an electric bike battery that has reportedly caught fire and caused some serious damage. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says these unit pack power batteries were sold to convert regular pedal bicycles and turn them into e-bikes. According to the warning, the batteries haven't been safety certified, and 13 times they've overheated, and in 7 cases have caught fire, causing substantial property damage. The manufacturer also is not offering a refund, but CPSC, the officials there say these batteries are simply so dangerous that you should get rid of them immediately. A mining company just cleared a major hurdle to mine for lithium just outside of Charlotte. Piedmont Lithium applied to open a mine in Gaston County back in August of 2021. And today, the company says the State Department of Environmental Quality approved that application. The operation will provide hundreds of jobs there, but people who live nearby have been concerned a bit that the mine will hurt their quality of life and put their drinking water at risk. Piedmont Lithium has a deal with Tesla to supply the car maker with raw materials to make electric vehicle batteries.
You have less than 5 hours, exactly 4 hours, 41 minutes, and 42 seconds to submit your taxes or request an extension. This deadline has a lot of people talking about money and finances lately. You know, fewer than half of the states in this country require high schoolers to take a personal finance class to graduate. Actually, North Carolina is one that does. WRAL's Allie Ingersoll looks at why more states are making this a requirement.
America is setting Gen Z up for
meet Mary Esposito.
Schools aren't teaching us how to manage our money so that we can afford to live.
She stays busy running two businesses, studying at UNC, and maintaining a presence online as a content creator. Her Instagram account, Money with Mary One, has amassed more than 44,000 followers.
By giving people the tools to learn about their own finances, we are giving them the opportunity to optimize money and step into their power.
Okay, let's get into the pros and cons.
Esposito created this account when a business she started, Purple Pear, became successful.
I had this money and I didn't know what to do with it at 17.
So she started educating herself about investing in personal finance.
My experience in K through 12 education was nothing about financial literacy, like no checkbooks, no taxes, no investments.
That's not the case now, though. North Carolina is among nine states which require students to take a standalone class in personal finance. And according to the Department of Public Instruction, it's intended to teach students about economics, income, money management. Esposito says she thinks all states should make it a requirement.
That's something that's going to impact 100% every single person that graduates from that school. And so if they're not being equipped with these skills that makes it necessary to, for lack of a better word, matriculate into the real world, then they're not going to be able to live a financially stable and successful life.
Until then, she'll keep using her platform to school her generation and others about money and help set them up for a stronger financial future.
I'll add more info, including how to start a Roth IRA, in my caption.
For WRAL News, I'm Allie Ingersoll.
Interesting. So, hi, I'm in the shot, too. You probably can't tell because of this beautiful image of Beaufort behind us. I mean, this time of year, man, that sunset is just gorgeous. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us with a nice looking sunset of her own.
Yes, and Lake Gaston, I mean, it's stunning this time of year. All these water shots on an 89 degree day look awfully tempting to make a drive, right? It's been beautiful at the point at Lake Gaston here. The sun's setting in the distance. You can't really see any clouds in this shot. But as we get toward 9, 10 o'clock tonight, we could see some clouds fill in and perhaps even an isolated storm. That chance just 30%, and that chance is even lower for the Triangle and the rest of our viewing area. It's just right along the Virginia border. Where we could see a few isolated storms later on this evening and tonight. I think that the bulk of these storms is actually going to end up staying east of us, but Northampton County, as well as a sliver of Warren County and Mecklenburg County, would have that potential for a strong storm later tonight. Still looks like a low-end threat. The severe thunderstorm watch is in Virginia, not including North Carolina. But if you zoom in here, you can see we've got this storm right here. On its trajectory would impact the east side of Mecklenburg County, perhaps South Hill, and we'll watch to see if this little cell is able to come together at all. But the bulk of this activity looks like it'll pass just to the east of us. If you do need to get some yard work done tomorrow, don't let the rain chance hold you back. I think you'll have most of the day that is dry before the rain ever gets here, and not everybody is going to see rain tomorrow. I just wanted to add that disclaimer there with the rain chance. The rest of the week looks pretty good. As we get into the weekend, rain chances are likely to climb, but that may not happen until Sunday. If you want to head out and about tomorrow, get some exercise. 63 at 6 a.m. 8 a.m. You're waking up to temperatures in the mid-60s already. Another very warm day. We'll climb back into the mid to upper 80s tomorrow. By 7 o'clock, we've got about a 50% chance of some scattered showers and storms. So the bulk of this would come after dinner time, and temperatures begin to fall into the 70s. Some good news for you, though. The worst of the pine pollen is over. If you need to clean off your porch, I think you're good to do so. We do still have very high tree pollen. It just no longer includes that yellow pine pollen that gets everywhere. And the grass pollen is starting to climb about 2 weeks early, though, but we are seeing grass pollen back in the moderate category. So if you're sneezing and you're wondering why, you may have some grass allergies. Looking at your 7-day forecast, though, it is very summer-like. We've got 80s in the forecast all the way through Saturday. Then comes the change. We've got an increasing chance for rain on Sunday. That looks like the wettest day, and then low temperatures dip back in the 40s after that.
All right. Thank you, Kat.
Taking a look now at the NC State Bell Tower, more and more people are showing up, and they're all in red for a reason. Celebration for both basketball teams kicks off soon. You can see crowds already gathering, players, coaches, some university and city leaders as well will be there. More details on this party when we come back. High school robotics teams representing Fuquay Varina High and Cary High are now headed for a national competition in Houston, Texas.
This competition, called First Championship, attracts students who love a high-tech challenge. Students design and create the coding and which make these bots battle-ready. So they do a bit of a battle here. 13 teams from North Carolina headed to Houston for the World Championships, including the Robo Eagles of Cary High School and Slice of Fuquay Varina High. The teams begin their three-day competition on Wednesday. Those robots are a little bigger than I thought they were, too.
They're
right?
Impressive.
Because when they hold those rings, the rings are rather large.
They launch those rings,
well
too.
Well done. The SPCA of Wake County is putting its dogs in pajamas in hopes of spurring some more adoptions.
As part of the Dogs in Ducky Pajamas promotion, all adult dog adoptions will include a pair of puppy PJs. Why? Well, the SPCA says dogs in shelters are often misunderstood, so they're hoping that the pajamas will show off just how sweet their dogs are. It kind of works. They're selling me on it. The promotion runs through the end of April and applies to all dogs 7 months and older at the SPCA of Wake County. Let's get back to the NC State Bell Tower. Look at all the crowd of people. Can you see it there? People are really starting to flood in, gathering for the celebration. This is, of course, because of the historic basketball season for both teams.
So here's a little closer look. We get started about 30 minutes. You can watch the celebration on WRL News Plus and WRAL.com. Thanks for being with us tonight. We'll see you on Fox 50 at 10 and 11 on WRAL.